You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. It is now my privilege and honor and pleasure to welcome to the show not only an unbelievably great player, one of the all-time best at his position in the National Football League, but also a great friend. He is Andre Reed. And Andre, let me congratulate you on your induction, finally, my friend, into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Vic. You know, we go back like DJs and PJs, man. I mean,
we do.
We've known each other for a long time. And you saw the good years, the glory years, and all those players, and how we just progress as a team and as individuals. When you were with us, you know, in Buffalo, writing for the Buffalo News and all that. And proud of you, man. I'm proud of what you've done, not only there in Buffalo, but what you're doing in Cleveland now and what you did for NFL.com, man. I really, really am proud of you, man.
That's very nice. I am more than touched by you saying that. Andre, I got to get to this now. This was a far too long wait. But the way I'm looking at it now, you're in, and I don't care how long it took. I know you probably maybe still have that on the mind, but how are you? What was your reaction when you finally got that call?
Well, of course I was. You know, it was a long wait, and when you hear the same thing every single year, excuse me, I lost my voice a couple of days ago, so I'm just
been celebrating,
trying to. Yeah, exactly. And you know, you hear it the same thing every year. It was like, you know, it was the same record skipping at the same place every year. And I said this year there was something in the air, that something was different about this year, not only from people and people that follow me and all that kind of stuff. And I felt that they're going to turn, you know, they finally turned the record on the other side, you know, put it on the other side, put it on the B side. And it's a little smoother now. And just pure elation, man. I mean, hey, I've been to 4 Hall of Fame ceremonies with Bruce Thurman, Jim, Marv, and I saw James Lofton, and it's to be in that category with those guys, the guys you played with and you went to war with, and then to be in a prestigious institution like the Hall of Fame and what it means. If anybody hasn't ever been there, I recommend you go and just see what not only what professional football was all about, but the men that created a game and the men that stood for the game. That's what the Hall of Fame's about.
Joined by Andre Reed, 2014 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee, 11th with 951 career receptions, 13th with 13,198 yards, 12th all-time with 87 career receiving touchdowns. Andre, you talked about being a part of those teams now as the fifth guy to go into the Hall of Fame. How special were those years in Buffalo?
You know, they molded me. It became synonymous with not only the city. The Buffalo Bills of those times, we were household names, not only just in Buffalo, but in the whole National Football League. You know, it was documented that in order to go to the Super Bowl, you had to beat Buffalo somewhere down the line. You had to beat them either in Orchard Park or somewhere else. And you know, I think a lot of people talk about, yeah, we were in 4 Super Bowls and we didn't win. But you just see what happened Sunday in the Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, you know, Denver, this high-scoring offense, went up against a pretty stout Seattle defense. And, you know, it didn't turn out, I think, the way most people thought. Not only that, probably what, you know, it turned out the way Seattle people thought, but definitely not what Denver people thought. But, you know, what a special time. And we were coached by a Hall of Fame coach, and the fans were just tremendous. And we were pretty, like you said, synonymous with that whole area, and we loved to play for them, man. And we tried to do our best, and we did.
Andre, beyond the numbers and the you know, the titles, the division titles, of course, the Super Bowl run and all that, but you also set a standard. You really were kind of a pioneer at the position, because at that time – having a guy your size with your strength and your ability to go over the middle without flinching, catch the ball, and then get a lot of those yards after catch. I mean, that really redefined the position in a lot of ways. Were you conscious of that while you were doing it?
You know what, Vic, that's a pretty good question. I've really never gotten that kind of question. It's probably something similar to it. I just thought that that was my job. And I thought that in order for us to be a better offensive team, that was what I needed to do. And I had to find any way to do it, mindset, whatever, skill set. And then for the team to have confidence in me that I could do it, it made me work extra hard every year. And, Jim Kelly was the consummate, field general up there with Marino and Elway back in those days. He was perfect for that kind of offense. And we had the right players in the right places at the right times during those years. And believe me, I'm in total debt to all those guys and the offensive coordinator and Tim Archibroda back in the day. It was fun to be around.
And you guys did it and were consistently explosive on offense in an era where the rules were not geared to that. Could you imagine if you took that little K-gun offense you guys ran and did it in today's NFL? I mean, it would be unbelievable.
I'd have about 400 more catches.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about going over the middle ever.
Yeah, because you don't get hit anymore.
That's right.
If you do, you're getting flagged.
Right, it's 15 yards.
You're getting a flag, so... that's the biggest thing I think about today's game and back then is that rule. And it's such a tedious rule. I mean, sometimes it's a little overblown because some of those hits are legal and they call the flag and then some of them aren't. But, that's the way the game is. That's how the game has evolved to this point. The protection of the players is really paramount to the commissioner and the players. And now, players are going down a guy's knees instead of going up their heads now. So they'd rather take your knee out than they say, hey, we'll take your knee out, I guess, and we won't go at your head anymore. But that's just the way the rule changer has caused the game to go.
Dre, you got so many great memories. We're visiting, by the way, with 2014 Hall of Fame inductee Andre Reed. Played for the Buffalo Bills primarily in his career. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dre, when you look at your your game and what you did and the memories that came from this, is there going to be that one thing that stands out? I mean, I know an obvious place a lot of people would go for you is that comeback playoff game against Houston, mm-hmm. but is it that one? Is there another one?
Well, definitely it's that one. I mean, that one definitely comes to mind. I mean, they play that game all the time and, that really epitomized what that team that year was about and really those years, period. Because, Vic, at that time, free agency wasn't really as evident as it is now. I mean, guys wanted to stay where they were.
Right.
A lot of guys didn't test the waters like they do now. We had backups that can start anywhere. Kenny Davis was I think he was fifth in the Heisman in 89, and he came out, went to Green Bay, and he really played a big part in that comeback game because Thurman was hurt. So guys just played their role. And I would definitely say that game because it's in football folklore now. And, there's a couple other individual games I had that were just, pretty good. But that one probably stands alone at the top because of the way not only the game progressed, but, how it went down.
Andre, you are the only number 83 to play on the offensive side of the ball, which is surprising when you think of how jersey numbers are distributed now to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, which I think is pretty cool. That means you're the best receiver to ever wear number 83 as far as I'm concerned. Is there a story to why you wore 83 for your whole career?
You know what? I came in the league in 85. I remember I got drafted and I got to Buffalo and got to the stadium the first day. It was me and Bruce Smith. We were on the plane and Bruce was – a little bit bigger back then. I think Bruce was like 300 pounds back then before
he was, yeah.
Yeah, Vic, you remember, Bruce was just a big old bear. That's what he looked like.
He sat on, I remember on his press conference, he sat on a table, and the table was like bowing in the middle. It was going to break.
Yeah, Bruce was just a big old dude. He was unpolished, but, he was a heck of a defensive end at Virginia Tech. And I tell you, it only took him about 3 or 4 years to figure it out. And he became a beast and, definitely – if not the best defensive end to ever play the game. So, I don't know. I got to the stadium and I was like, all right, they gave me number 46. And I was like, okay, well, I wore 88 in college. I was like, okay, so this is how they do rookies. And then I had a pretty good preseason. I scored like 3 or 4 touchdowns in preseason. I made, excuse me, again, I made the team. And if you remember Woody, Vic, and, yep. and Hojo,
yep,
they came to me and said, well, we got 2 numbers for you. You can pick 83 or 88. And I said, oh, man, I got to have my college number. Well, then that's when we signed Pete Metzelaars, and Pete came in, and Pete was 88 when he was with the Seattle Seahawks. So Pete, you know, he had a couple years on me, so.
He said, look out, rookie. You're 83.
And he said, sit down. I had no money to pay him, so I'm like, nah, I ain't going to pay you for that. So he took 88, and I said, all right, give me 83. So that was it.
Great story. And yeah. I got to add this because and I'm sure Andre remembers this too, but you got to remember, Nathan, he came from Kutztown State. There's a small school from Pennsylvania. So he comes in, and people are obviously skeptical, smaller school guy. What's he going to do in the NFL? And I'll never forget, training camp Fredonia, New York, and we're standing on the sidelines, the one-on-one drills, and the receivers are in a line, and the DBs are in a line. And the first route Andre runs. Now, Jerry Glanville was there as the defensive backs coach, and Jerry was nuts, right, Andre?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
He wanted his guys to, like, make a statement, hit the daylight. This is training camp practice, hit their teammates and hit them hard. And Andre goes over the middle for his first pass. I believe it was your first one or one of your first ones.
Pretty much.
And Kilroy, I think the guy's name was Kilroy or something like that, comes whack, just slamming him, right? Hits him as hard as can be, and Andre, you know, okay, goes to the ground. Bounces right up, doesn't flinch, goes back in line again, because a lot of people are saying, oh, now the rookie, this will be it. We'll never see him again. He jumps back in line, and I believe, Andre, you moved in line where you could line up against the same guy again. And then caught it.
I said, I want that dude again.
Yep, and he caught it, and he was off to the races. And I said, I wrote that day. I got the column. I said, this guy's going to be special. And I was getting crap for that. I said, wait a minute. How can you say a guy from Kutztown State as a rookie is going to be special? Well, you know what?
You liked what you saw.
Andre proved me right. That's right.
He certainly did. Yeah. And as I look here, January 29th, your birthday. So turning 50 years young this year, that would be a pretty good birthday gift. I'm pretty sure getting the Hall of Fame was as good as it got.
Yeah, and me and Aeneas Williams has the same day, same birthday as mine.
Oh, wow.
And,
right.
Yeah, so we, it's me and Aeneas, I tell him, I say, you know what else is famous that got our birthday? He goes, yeah, Oprah. So Oprah, I was trying to get a call from her, but she wasn't available. But,
go ahead.
No, it was good to see, you know, we were there at the game on Sunday, and we're coming in, and Whoopi Goldberg walks by, and she has a little entourage with her. So it was me and Ray got all the Hall of Famers, and she goes, wait, stop. And we're like, oh, man, Whoopi Goldberg. And it's like, hey, how you doing? She goes, can I get a picture of all you guys? And we took a picture of her, and she goes, I'm going to put this on The View tomorrow. So Monday morning, I just turn on the TV before I have to do this Hall of Fame stuff. And I'm, okay, The View comes on, and she's talking about Super Bowl stuff. And all of a sudden, there's our picture with her on there.
That is so cool.
That's very cool.
That's very cool.
I mean, very cool of her to do that.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this gives you the validation of your career that you always knew that you had, but just to get this kind of validation from everybody who's covered the game has to be so special and so meaningful?
I think you're absolutely right with that. I mean, there's no other way to explain, you know, what not only what the Hall of Fame means, what it represents, and what your career has meant. It is a validation. It's like the stamp of approval. Nobody can say anything about me anymore and say, well, this guy and this guy and that guy. You know, I'm in with 22 of the best players, best wide receivers to ever play a game.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. No, it's
you can't get no better than that.
Nope. Hey, a couple of Cleveland things we want to tie into. One, memories, you went up against Frank Minifield, right? And Hanford Dixon.
Oh, yeah. Two of the best corners I ever went against. Yep.
Yeah. So, because there were some epic, that playoff game was epic. It didn't end right for the Bills, but I know that one. Ronnie Harmon had the drop pass in the end zone, but you guys, that was when that was really when the K gun was born.
That's when it was born, and I remember playing on that bad field there. Had some sprinklers up in the field. I go, man, they really don't want us to win this game. But you know, we had some battles with those guys, and there was two other guys I had battles with over the years, and Kevin Ross and and Albert Lewis from Kansas City, and then you have James Hasty and Aaron Glenn in New York, and there's so many different guys I went up against over the years, man, that really, really made me a better player, and really that's what the competition was about. And I was going to get those guys every single week or whenever I played them.
Sure.
I was not going to get that third and fourth corner. I was getting the first or second guy all the time.
And I know you're up on everything going on with the Buffalo Bills now. So last season you follow them when Mike Pettine was their defensive coordinator. Give me some thoughts on Mike Pettine now as a head coach of the Browns.
Well, you know what? I think the guy, you know, I never got a chance to meet him last year, but he's got a record. He's kind of a brash kind of guy. Very soft-spoken. I mean, he did a great job with the Bills' defense this year, and Cleveland already has a pretty good defense. I really like the wide receiver Josh Gordon there. He's a star in the league.
I was going to ask you about him next, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing right now for the Browns is getting a quarterback that's consistent enough that he can stay on the field.
That's right,
and,
yeah.
if they get that and solidify that, that's just going to bring everything else into play and kind of solidify the whole team to a certain point. But Mike Pettine will be that's a pretty good choice for them at head coach there.
Beautiful.
We're excited. I got one more for you.
Right.
What comes with the Hall of Fame also comes a big-time speech. You already thinking about this speech and getting ready to go up there and wow the world when you have that for him?
Well, put it this way. It'll be the best speech of my life. And I just hope I don't miss somebody in it.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen Thurman and Bruce and Jim and their speeches, and I will have definitely some help on it. And I got that guy right next to you.
That's right. I was going to say, you got a pretty good writer right here.
He's going to help me out.
Yep. Yeah, I'm extremely honored to help you way I can. This is going to be awesome. Dre, really, thank you for taking the time.
Yes, congrats.
And I know you're fighting a little bit of a throat issue there because you've been
talking
about
it. He's fighting a celebration hangover, exactly. And he deserves it.
But we will talk soon. All right, my friend.
Okay, you got my number. Just give me a call. And
yep.
Like I said, I will be back in Cali on Friday.
Okay.
And we can set some up for next week. But thanks for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Sounds
thanks
like a
so
plan.
Much. Andre Reed, congratulations.
One of the very best in the game, Andre Reed.
That's right.
Hall of Famer 2014 joining us here, one of the inductees joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got so much more coming up for you. Scott Petrak will join us, Browns beat writer. We're going to hear from you at 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, we got Megan Rock in studio tweeting, and she'll be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that will be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. So much ahead on ESPN 850 WKNO.